Not Just Football with Cam Hayward is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook. You bet, you get with Caesars Rewards. Must be 21 or older.
All right, guys, welcome to a special episode of Not Just Football with Cam Hayward. You know me, I'm Peter Pan, number 97, Cam Hayward. You know Hayden, that's Nathan Scott from One Tree Hill. It's okay. But we have a very special guest, and he's just playing himself, Mr. Larry Ogunjobi. What's up, brother? How you doing?
Good. It was good. I'm finally glad to be, you know, on the podcast. Finally got the invite.
You always got the invite. You can keep coming back if you want. We can let you talk.
That's all right. We'll see how this goes.
That's all right. All right, well, then let's start. What do people not know about Larry Ogunjobi?
I like to read a lot. I like books. Books like The Power of Now, The Magic of Thinking Big, Four Agreements, Untethered Soul. I think my favorite book is The Alchemist, though. I've always been a big reader just growing up. You know, my parents are in the medical field, so they kind of instilled in me, you know, scholastic stuff, you know, where my parents are immigrants. So, like, if you're not a doctor, lawyer, engineer, all that kind of stuff, that's kind of the road track that you take as a kid. So they're big on me, you know, being in the books and reading. And you know, I found a love for it. So I'd say I like to read a lot. I like space. I like astrology, Greek mythology, all kinds of stuff, really. I mean, it just depends on who you ask.
Wow. So now it makes sense that TJ was scared of you when we were playing Scrabble. Because I remember TJ always saying, like, bro, he reads books. Like, I'm scared of this dude. But what I want to know is, you know, you mentioned your parents and they always had a structure of, you know, you're an engineer or, you know, very big in the scholastics. How did they deal with you wanting to play sports?
Oh, all right. Well, this is going to be a funny story. So I didn't really start playing football. Well, the only reason I started playing football is because my mom took away my Xbox. That was the only reason why I got into football. I was about 350 pounds, obese. I couldn't get in I was playing Call of Duty, Gears of War, Madden. It was when I was playing with the Steelers on the little franchise thing. But I was just gaining a lot of weight. And my mom and my dad came to me one day and like, you know, you're killing yourself. And it took on my Xbox. So, you know, I'm probably like 15, 16. I'm throwing tantrums. I'm pissed off, mad at the world. I think my parents hate me. My dad goes to the park one day and he meets his coach. His name is Robert Mitchell. And he tells he's talking to my dad. And my dad is like, you know, I'm worried about my son and whatnot. And, you know, the coach says I can help him. So it was one Saturday morning. I get a knock on the door. This dude is at my front door. He's like, all right, come on, let's go. We're about to work out. I'm like, bro, who are you? He's like, nah, we're about to go work out. So I'm like, I'm asking my mom, like, what are we doing? She's like, nah, you're going. So I start training with him. I start working out with him. And then one day, after about a month or so, we drive by the high school. And he said, we're going to stop in the high school real quick. I'm like, for what? He's like, you're going to play football. I'm like, no, I'm not. Like, the deal was you're going to help me lose weight. Like, because at this point I had lost a couple pounds, so I was feeling a little more confident about myself. But I was like, football was not, you know, in the cards. Like, that's not what I wanted to do. And anyway, he got the permission slip. He took it to my mom. My mom signed it. I was on the football field that Saturday. Walk on the field. Everybody's like, who's that? Who's that? It's just Larry. Because, you know, when you're a bigger guy, you know, coaches have already probably tried to get you on the team and whatnot. So we go through the practice, we go through the sprints, can't finish the sprints, can't finish the workout. Coaches come up to me the next day. They're like, Larry, want to make sure you're still here. And like, yeah, I'm still here. But like in my head, I'm like, only because I have to be. But, you know, I go through that, you know, JV season. You know, obviously it was, you know, ups and downs, my first time playing. But I think that the huge point for me was the awards banquet. Right. So at the award banquet, I thought my best friend at the time, Trey Grimes, was going to get the award for most improved JV player. and they gave it to me. And that was like the first time in my life I felt like I earned something that I really worked for. So I asked my coach what I needed to do. You know, he said you had to get faster, you had to get stronger, and you had to perfect your technique. So every day after practice, I would go to the YMCA and I'll, you know, start off running half a mile and biking 5 miles, then running a whole mile, biking 10 miles. And I finally got to a point where I could run like 2 whole miles without stopping, bike 15 miles, and my body composition started changing. So I went from 350 the summer of my sophomore year to 247 the summer of my junior year. But then my coaches was like, man, what are you doing? You trying to play DB? I was like, nah. I had bulked back up to 262 for my junior year, made all conference. And then my senior year, I was like 267, made all conference, East-West All-Star. Had about 5 scholarship offers, Charlotte, Furman, Howard, Presbyterian, Catawba. Only took one official visit. That was to Charlotte. And it was like, and that's kind of that. Because I think sometimes people will see you now, you know, this is my 7th year in the league, and they won't really know the background of what, you know, how you got there. They'll just think like, oh, this guy went to, he was a stud just coming out. You know, like he was like, nah, like I had to really like build this. I had to become, you know, this person. And, you know, you end up going to Charlotte. You know, our first year was all practice. All practice, like we all redshirted. So imagine imagine you're at Ohio State and everybody in your class redshirts and all y'all do is practice against each other. So that's all we did. We practiced. When we first got there, there wasn't even a stadium. It was just a big like mound of dirt. And it was like, we had to walk through the facility with like hard hats on. Like it was really crazy because to see, you know, where it is now and what it was before is, you know, it's tremendous. But, you know, you go to Charlotte, I majored in computer science and biology, was a double major, and, you know, ended up being the first player drafted from Charlotte. So,
First player drafted from Charlotte, and then you get to play with a guy named Alex Highsmith. My dog. Tell me what he was in college, and did you see this guy becoming what he is today?
It's actually funny because our interaction in college was kind of short because when I was a senior going into my senior season, he was like a freshman walk-on. But it was cool though because when I actually got into the league, Alex would send me like his clips of like pass rush, like going through the bags and all that kind of stuff. And he just always seemed hungry. And all of a sudden you look up and he's, you know, All-American. And it's just like, it's just, I think, a testament to just being that almost that self-made man. You know, like you walk on, you earn a scholarship, and you just continue to grind. I think that was kind of the legacy that, you know, me and my classmates were trying to leave, you know, going through that first class. Was like, it doesn't matter, you know, where you start. If you're good enough, they'll come find you. And I feel like the guys who adapted to that and adopted that mentality, you know, just gave themselves an opportunity. Because we had guys who maybe got like a workout or something like that. But after I got drafted, it was almost like, all right, this is possible. You know, it's not impossible. Like it's possible. I can do this. So if I just work hard, I put my best foot forward, I give myself a chance, you know, like I can do it. And then you see guys like Nate Davis and then Alex and then Cam Clark. And now it's becoming this thing where it's, you know, it's not uncommon anymore. You know, you got guys, you know, I think in my draft class, we had guys coming out the MEAC and stuff like that. So that's when I knew it was like, if you're good enough, you know, they come find you. Even like a guy like Javon, you know, went to South Carolina State, and he has no knock on HBCUs, but it's like, it doesn't matter where you are. As long as you're willing to put in the work and the effort and give it your all every day, you're going to give yourself an opportunity and a chance to, you know, be great. And then once you get your foot in your door, it's your chance to, you know, make the most of it. And I think that, you know, a guy like Alex, you know, what he's done, what he's doing, the impact that he's making, you know, on the team is just awesome. Because I've got to see it all throughout, you know, his career, being that I've been in the AFC North my entire career. So I got to see him, you know, a little bit when I was in Cleveland and then when I got to Cincy. And, you know, now that I'm here and just watching his work ethic and just what he's developing into, it's exciting. You know, I think that's why Pittsburgh is such a special place, just because they really take the time to develop guys. You know, they teach them the ways. And it's almost like if you're a guy who loves football, then you'll love Pittsburgh, because it's like they give you the tools you need to like be great. And you laugh because you ain't been nowhere else.
No, so, I laugh because people say, you know, they say, if you love football, you love Pittsburgh. If you love anything else, you won't love Pittsburgh.
Yeah, facts. It's that cool balance. Like, if you're a football guy, like, this is your spot, you know? And I think the fans even give you that kind of energy and atmosphere, because, like, I think I was talking to Mitch after the L.A. game, and it was really crazy just to we continue to go to these away teams, like these stadiums, and it's like a home game. Mm-hmm. Like you go to these games, and it's, you know, you see all the terrible towers, you see all the fans, and it's like, it's really crazy, because in other places, like, fans don't travel like that. So it's really just cool to be a part of an organization and atmosphere that really just like lives and breathes football. So I think it's super dope.
One thing I want to bring up with Charlotte, you were coached by Aaron Curry. And now he is the inside linebackers coach for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Yeah. Explain that relationship, because that's pretty special in itself.
Well, AC, man, that's really my dog, man. Like, he
got drafted by Wake Forest, and crazy. Like,
he came to Charlotte. You know, I saw AC. AC's a big dude, so I was like, this dude plays linebacker. I'm like, oh man, this is the NFL's a real deal. But we all gravitated to it. Me, Austin Duke, Brandon Banks, Jamal Covenant, those are some of my closest friends. We all kind of gravitated towards AC just because of, you know, he was where we wanted to be. You know, he had got drafted fourth overall. He signed with Seattle, you know, played with the Raiders. Obviously, what happened, but like, he had made it, and he made it in a big way. And a lot of times I tell people that everybody has a vision, right? But, you know, not enough people have a roadmap. Nobody has like the ability to kind of navigate through it. And I think that when you're a pioneer, that's something that, you know, it's hard at times. When you're the first at something, think about it, you in Ohio State, right? Like, there was a bunch of guys that got drafted and went to the league, you know, there was a blueprint for that. But for me and everybody else who was around me, it was kind of like there was no blueprint. So when AC got there, that was the first time where we really felt like, okay, this is somebody that we can really kind of pick his brain, understand, learn from, see exactly what he's able to teach us, and then kind of go from there. And just his impact, you know, on me in school was just tremendous, just because, you know, he pushed me. He expected nothing for the best. Like, he didn't take, like, AC now is funny, but, like, in college, like, he was no BS, like, because he understood the desire that, you know, I personally had, but then also just, like, what it took to really get there. Like, you had to be that much better. You had to do that much more. You had to stand up that much, you know, that the level of excellence and just the output had to be at such a high level. And that's what he kind of demanded. So, you know, he was my D-line coach, and I was really grateful, you know, to have him.
It's funny now, because now y'all just look like an old married couple when y'all bicker back and forth. Like, you gave him a lot of love, and I'm going to tell him you gave him this love, because the way y'all talk to each other now is completely different.
Man, AC. Man, that's he put on a work front. Don't believe the hype. That's a work front.
All right. Well, then let's move into, you know, the NFL. You played for three of the AFC North teams. How was it like playing in Cleveland, Cincinnati, and now Pittsburgh? Are you trying to go to the Baltimore Ravens to, you know, round things out?
Not if I can help it. You know, I like to just stay and just, you know, stick around and work. Right off into the sunset. but it's been very interesting. You know, it's unique. You know, like I said, we talk about being the first, but like like Alex has been on the Steelers for, and probably will be for his entire career. But like, I've been on almost every AFC North team. So it's kind of funny. So starting out in Cleveland, So imagine, you know, you hype, you got drafted, you the first ever, you know, it's about to be lit, 0-16. Like, imagine going to work every week with the fire, the drive, the energy, 0-16. Not for lack of practice, not for lack of working hard, just, you know, it was a younger team and it just is what it was, just, that's just how it shook up. Like, there were some close games, there's some nail biters, and it's like, damn. But, you know, you build, you grind, you go through the process. Then, you know, we start to pick things up. You know, Baker comes in. We start to win games. You know, we go, I think it was 9-8-1 or something like that. I think we tied the first game of the season that mm-hmm. second year. And we all were kind of looking around at the end of the game like, that's it? And I think everybody on our side was like, yeah, we ain't lose. But it's been a cool journey, though, because to start 0-16, and then it's always funny how the Steelers have played such an interesting role in my career, because obviously we had, you know, obviously all the great games. Like, I think the Steelers was my first like regular season NFL game was against the Steelers. Obviously we had that scuffle, and then
we're gonna talk about that. Don't run from it. Don't run from it. We're gonna talk about that. You
finish. And then we play out the last home game of that playoff run, and then we go during COVID and play out in Pittsburgh, and then we get the dub in Pittsburgh. So it was just a very interesting time. And then after that, you leave there and you go to Cincinnati, and it's like, man, what's going on? Like, you thinking you're going to be in Cleveland? Because once again, as a player, like, nobody ever wants to leave a team mm-hmm. they get drafted to, because especially you don't know no better, you know? And for me, I just didn't. I was like, all right, this is home. This is where I've been at for the last 4 years. Like, I want to stake my flag. And then you don't. But then it's like, I'm a big believer that, you know, God doesn't make mistakes. So you go to Cincinnati. And it's dope because you're playing, you're balling out, you know, the team is winning. Obviously, you had the ups and downs, but you look up and it's like you're in the Super Bowl. Unfortunately, I got hurt, you know, the first playoff game. But just that, you know, that feeling, you know, that being there, that, like, once you taste that, like, you have to get there. Like, you have to get back there. Like, being hurt and having to sit and watch that game was one of the hardest things I've ever had to do in my life, just because, like, you just couldn't be out there, you know, because mm-hmm. you want to impact, you want to help, you want to play, because this is the greatest stage. And but once you get that, it's like, I can't leave without getting there.
Rewind back. Let's go to the scuffle. All right. Or, like, I like to call it the Cleveland Cranium Crash.
That's a working title. That's got to be
a working title. It is.
Working, yeah.
But I love hearing your side of the story, because it really does provide a lot of insight. Because if people don't know, me and Larry were basically about to get into it.
Yeah.
Right at the end of the game. Because we didn't even realize we were going to be teammates years later. But, like, it's funny how it happens.
Guy has a funny sense of humor. But yeah, it was like, so we're playing, it's a Thursday night game. I'm balling, I'm having, I got my sack, I'm good. You know, we're playing. It's like, people don't understand, but, like, the Steelers were like the big brother of the AFC, especially my first 4 years in the league. So, like, anytime it was, you know, everybody's hype, everybody's mad in the building, you know, the energy is just there. And, you know, so it's a Thursday night game, it's prime time. And for lack of better words, we're going ham. So we're having a good time. And there's 7 seconds left on the clock. Like, I done got my sack and I hit the bowling ball celebration. I'm good to go. Like, I'm thinking about to go home and have a great time. And that's not what happened. So... they run a screen the last play of the game. So I'm running down the field. Pouncey's down the field. So I'm just running. So it's the screen, you know. So I'm thinking the game's over. So all of a sudden, like, I hear the crowd like, doing all that kind of stuff. So I turn around. We're probably at like the, let's say, probably like the 40 or something, because you guys were backed up anyway. So I turn around and I see like a scuffle, and then I see like a helmet, like, boom. And I'm thinking like, this is so funny. So I'm thinking Mason hit Miles the whole time, like the whole time. So I run down there, I shove Mason. I'm like, man, what the F are you doing? Like, then everybody starts coming around. I'm like, well, the whole time, I'm like, you didn't see what he did? You didn't see what he did? The whole time, you know me, I'm 40 yards down the field. All I see is that. So I'm thinking like, this dude just hit Miles with a helmet. And because obviously he ain't got no helmet on. So I'm thinking, this dude just used his helmet. So we go, obviously I get it. We all get it, like halfway get ejected. Cam comes up. He's like, man, you want to go? I'm like, what's up? Like, what you want to do? Like, Cam, like, see me after the game. I'm like, all right. So they taking us off the field. The crowd is going crazy. Like, yeah. I'm thinking, like, I don't really know. I'm thinking in my head, like, I'm just, you know, standing up for your teammate. So I go in the locker room. I do the interview, like, all that. This is so funny. I get to the little friends and family area, and my dad looks at me. He's like, son, why? And I'm like, what do you mean why? The whole time, I'm like, and that's why it's so funny to me. Like, I look at the video, I'm like, damn. So, like, and it's so funny because, like, looking back at it, I'm like, obviously, it was just one of those things where, like, you shove anybody else. Like, if it was an old lineman that got pushed, no problem. But, like, it was just a situation, the severity of it, actually getting hit with a helmet. Like, so it was just one of those things. And then, like, you got to shut off your comments for, like, 2 weeks, like, you got to talk to you got to appeal and whatever. But the weird thing about the scheduling was like, like, I got one game suspension, but then the game that I came back was against the Steelers again. I'm like, bro, like, you really can't make this up. But lo and behold, though, like, all in all, it's just kind of one of them things, you know, like.
And I'll just say that, I'll say this, like, after this is the type of person you are, like, you know, you were thinking about signing with the Steelers, and we were talking, and you're like, bro, I just want to clear the air. And I'm like, I could care less about that now, bro. Like, it's behind me. And, like, you were going on an apology tour that you didn't even have to go on. So, like, you know, it speaks to your character, and, like, we were more than happy to have you come to the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, man, you just want to.
Well, I was gonna ask, did y'all feel like you needed to have a meeting before, like, even with Mason? Did you feel like you had to talk to him before you signed with the Steelers?
It's not like it was Miles at the time. Let's be real. Like,
I know,
it
was a but push. He was involved. Like, I mean, it's a fair question.
No, if he had thrown the helmet, that's a different talk. But, like, bro, like, it was straight, right? What about you and Mason? Did you guys talk?
We're cool now. I mean, I think because you gotta think about it, like. It was so, the whole situation was just kind of like one of those things where it's like, it just kind of just is what it is. Like, I'm defending my side. You guys are defending yours. Like, we play a very, like, like, passionate, emotional game. Like, obviously you don't want nobody getting hit and vice versa, but it's like, sometimes tempers just flare. It doesn't make anything right or wrong. It just makes it real. Like, we're all human. Like, there's probably been plenty of times where somebody wants to do something. But, like, I've seen – I think they were showing, like, old school clips of people getting – like, and it's just so hilarious. But it's, like, it's just one of those things where, like, it's just football. You know, obviously, you don't want nobody getting hurt, and you don't want things to escalate to that capacity. But at the same time, it's, like, I always wanted to make sure, like, my dog was good. And then when I got here, I'm like, yo, like – we're good. You feel me? Like, I didn't have no beef with you. I just wanted to make sure, like, the whole time I'm thinking, that you hit him. If I saw him different, you know, man, it would have been different. But that's what.
Tickets to the game, merch, meals at iconic restaurants, stays at Caesar's Palace. All this can be yours when you bet with Caesar's Sportsbook. Win or lose, every bet earns reward credits, which you can redeem across the empire. Now, if you haven't started yet, register using code OMAHAFULL and then place your first bet. Up to $1,250. If you win, great. You keep those winnings. But if you lose, you'll get your stake back as a bonus bet. 21 and over only. Offer must be valid, must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Maryland, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming only. New users and first $10 wage only. Must register with eligible promo code. Bet amount or qualifying wager return only if wager is settled as a loss. Maximum bonus bet $1,250. Bonus bet expires 14 days after receipt. Tier credits and reward credits will be added to account within 7 days after qualifying wager settles. See Caesars.com/promos for full terms. Void where prohibited. No one to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with the Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through the Horseshoe Bossier City and Harrah's, New Orleans. Massachusetts, if you or a loved one is experiencing problems with gambling, please call 1-800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org for 24/7 support. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia,
Ohio,
Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harrah's, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER. That's 1-800-426-2537. Or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369.
We talked about Pittsburgh and Cleveland, and two of the defensive player of the year candidates, TJ Watt and Myles Garrett, you've played with them. What's it like playing with those guys, and what's the difference?
You see why both of them are the way they are. Like, Miles is that, like, freakishly, like, just, like, looks like a test tube baby. And then TJ is just very, like methodical. He's very analytical. He understands the game. Like, when you hear him talk, it's like he's seeing things before they're happening. It's like he's constantly playing, like, chess. I don't know if that makes sense, but it's almost like he just understands the game. Like, he understands when to take his risk, when not to. He understands what the offense is doing. Like, the dude picks off, you know, like dump passes. Like, I think Coach T said he had like 7 career interceptions or something like that. Mm-hmm. for a D lineman. That's great. That's crazy. But then Miles, you just look at, and he just does like these freakishly, like jumping over, like blocking, punting, all that kind of stuff. So, both of them are great in their own right. And I think that's the amazing thing about football, regardless of like your size, body stature, whatever it is. Like, if you're great and you have the space to be great, the great ones take up that space.
All right, Larry, have you learned anything from Cam since you've been playing with him?
Don't do that.
Man, no, man. Cam don't. Nah, man. I used to watch. So when I was in Cleveland, I saw Cam, and there's a couple years where I was like, man, Cam would be the reason why he ain't gonna get no Pro Bowl. Like, cause he's just like stats, consistency. Like, I'm like, man, this guy, like, but it was also like a driving force. Cause obviously Cam was competition for my first, you know, 5 years. You feel me? Like, that was like the standard. That was the staple. The guy who, like, when you thought about Pittsburgh, like, thought about Cam, like a guy who's just done it the right way consistently for, you know, 13 years and counting is like amazing. Like, Cam had 10 sacks last season and you're 12. Like, to do it how he's done it at the level he's done it in such a consistent way is like I said, it's just amazing, because what you do on the interior is hard work, man. Like, it's not, don't ever take it for granted. Like, they talk about it's like a hard row to hold. Like, that's a hard row. You feel me? Like, it's like bombs going off in the middle of it. Like, it's real. Like, they talk about trench work. Like, it's trench warfare in between those tackles. And just to see a guy do it at a high level with always a great attitude, I think that's the thing that separates Cam from a lot of other people, is just the spirit and the attitude in which he goes about his work. Like, a lot of guys, you know, who are up in their years, no offense, would, you know, be just chilling and like, this dude is taking scout team reps. This guy is doing whatever it takes. He's running extra after practice. Like, he's being the example. And when you see somebody doing that, it's like, well, I can't take it easy either. Like, this guy has done it, and he's done it the right way for so long. He has every reason to chill, to kick it up, to take a couple of days off. He could practice on Fridays if he wanted to. I've seen people do it before, but this guy wants to work. He wants to be the example, and, you know, he's a difference maker, and you just see it. And, like, I'm blessed to have a guy like that, you know, to play beside. You know, I'm in year 7, he's in year 13. It's like, he's really just that guy. He brings that, I don't know how to explain, he just brings that energy, man. And I think that's super important, because a lot of times you go through this job and it's hard, but he never lets it take his joy away. And I think when you're a guy like that, I mean, you have every reason and every opportunity to be special, which he is, man. That's Cam, man.
Peter Pan.
Bro, hey, bro. Hey, it's Peter Pan. Let's move on, though. Let's quit talking about this. Yo, I'm making it sound like it's a eulogy or something, but like, we got to keep moving, because I don't like
all this. Anytime somebody starts talking about Cam, always get, because
no, we're not going to do that. That's right now. Auntie. Hey, Cam, you know what? Let's
you never like compliments. And every time somebody starts complimenting Cam, he starts blushing. Like,
he was cringing the entire time you were talking. Larry. He was cringing the entire time. He was all like weird. Thoughts. Yeah, weird.
Your cheeks are red, dude. Yeah.
Oh, man. That's just because I'm Peter Pan, bro.
Yeah, whatever.
What do you expect?
Tinkerbell's not around, so there's no reason to blush.
Hey, bro. Okay. But we're pressed for time. I want to keep it moving. How do we get back on track this week versus the Tennessee Titans?
Make big plays. Bigger plays. I feel like we made some big plays, but when you don't win, it's almost like it doesn't matter. Like, it, and football is one of those sports that doesn't really let you not only soak but celebrate too long, because it's just such a quick turnaround. But I think really it's just like making more big plays. Yeah. You know, like, obviously yesterday was a super close game, but you just got to do it. Like, and that's how I've always looked at it. You know, you could go out and have 3 sacks and, you know, still lose and then be like, damn, like, you know, and that's just always the player I've been. You know, what more could we have done? And it's really just attention to detail, you know, being able to see the little things, you know, understanding that it all matters. I tell the guys in the huddle, you know, before the game, like, it all matters, because it does, you know, those little minute details, you know, the things, the little nuggets we get during the week, like, all that got to translate to the game. And then at the end of the day, it's just going out there and making plays. Coach T talks about it all the time, about, you know, A players being A. And there's a lot of truth to that. And I think it's guys understanding that anybody can be A. You just have to go do it, you know, and being A isn't, you know, that once in a blue moon play. Is consistency, week in and week out, you know, doing the right things week in and week out, because that's all football is. Football really is a game of mistakes and who makes the least amount of them. But then your ability to capitalize on the mistakes of others is what usually determines the outcomes of games.
Quick question before we get out. How's the puppy, Axel? Last year, I got to gift you a puppy for the Christmas exchange. Actually, I didn't gift it to you. I just put it out there for the Secret Santa, and you wound up with the puppy.
It really, don't buy that. Don't buy that. He knew what kind of dog I wanted. Like, Malik picked up, and everybody knew I was going to be the one to get the dog, because Malik had a baby on the way, and he grabbed that crate and was... Hey, he about lost his life. He was like, man, I got a baby. My wife ain't gonna live. But nah, Axel's great, man. You never know you need something until you get it, and I always laugh when I say that's one of the greatest gifts I've ever gotten, just because, you know, it's just a gift that keeps on giving. You know, like Axel's probably, he's with my parents right now. They came and they got him on a bye week. But Axel's probably about 110 right now. He turned he turned one on the Vegas game. So a couple weeks ago, but man, he's awesome. This is my road dog in Miami, man. We were walking around, you know, streets of Miami, having a good time. but he's a lot of fun, man. It definitely gave me, you know, that extra. I felt like I was always, you know, super disciplined, but like just having him really just kind of really lock things in as far as like routine and, you know, just added an extra layer. Cause like now you got, you know, something depending on you, making sure that, you know, you're handling business, you know, whether it's taking them out or making sure he's straight and all that kind of stuff. So it was good. You know, when you're a young man like me, when it's just you, kind of, you're not really worried about the outside stuff. But now it's like having Axel, it kind of puts everything. It's almost like, almost like a kid. You feel me? Like you got to make sure he eats. You can't sometimes Axel at first, though, was stressing me out. I was like, man, why did Cam do this to me? Peeing everywhere, like it was accidents. I'm like, bro, every time he pooped in the house, I would just picture Cam's face laughing. Like, you know, like a little head behind you just laughing, like, and then pointing at you like that.
Gotcha. All right, guys, it's our special time with our special friend. Sometimes it's time for our very special segment, Short Time with a Long Snapper, Mr. Christian. I forget his last name, but Coons. Welcome back. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me. Thank you. This is an honor and a privilege to be on this special segment.
Special segment. I'm dressed up. You're dressed up. You're a hostage. I'm Peter Pan. You know,
I'm actually not dressed up. This is Coach T's shirt. Volunteers, not hostages. And I'm clearly a volunteer.
Wait, did you buy that in stores?
No. No, I didn't. No, I was given this. This is a gift.
Is it a gift from Chris Boswell?
No, Boz is not wearing this shirt. Boz is not wearing this shirt ever.
Well, Boz won't wear that shirt, but Boz is probably asking for a do-over this past week. Did you get a chance to see his social media?
I did, yes.
What did you think about his take on everything that happened during the game?
I mean, honestly, it is like he put the crying face emojis and basically laughing at the call, which – from that picture where it showed, you know, it was kind of laughable. And then from what I heard is the opposite side judge called it. So, and they called it late after the kick was like through. So like, why wouldn't you just call it pre-snap? Obviously Boz isn't happy, dude. Like he strikes a 56-yard field goal in the rain in Akershire, like not easy to do. And then they want to go bump us back 5 yards to 61, which, come on, like, I mean, you know.
Yeah, it's definitely different. I was going to bring up one thing, too. You guys had a fresh ball on the 56-yard kick, right?
Yep.
And then after that, because it had been raining, you get a waterlogged ball. How does that affect the situation?
Dude, I didn't even think about that. I'm just pissed off about the call. We kicked the first ball. We get three game balls a game. We kicked the first one. It's always like, it's a fresh ball. It's brand new. It flies well, like whatever. We kicked it. We made it. And then they threw in – that was the three ball. We had them throw in the three ball, 1, 2, 3. We had them throw in the three ball because it was fresh and it was going to fly better. So we threw in the three ball. We kicked it. We banged the 56. And then instead of grabbing that same three ball that hit the net, drying it off and putting it back down, that's the freshest ball at the time, or giving the two ball, they throw in the one ball, which has already been snapped for 5, 6 punts, rolled on the ground. Like, it's definitely waterlogged. And they kind of just kind of just screwed us a little bit, and it is what it is.
Like, who controls which ball goes out there?
So there's a obviously Mike like handles our footballs on the side, and he has the bag, and Boz will tell him like which ball to roll in for that field goal. But as for like which ball the ref puts down, it's between Mike giving him the ball or the ref asking for a ball. Like the ref kind of dictates what ball goes down. And then like I remember what game was it? Baltimore 2 years ago, 2021, we're kicking the 33-yard field goal and they call a timeout. It was raining. And I was and you were like, what? You looked at me, you're like, what's wrong? And I was like, look at the ball. We called a timeout and the ref puts the ball down. He's rolling the ball back and forth like on the wet ground. And then you looked at the ref and you realized and you're like, can we pick the ball up? And the ref picked you said that. It was for us to go.
I would never. I'm a Disney character. Yeah. I would never
Peter
say
Pan that. Said that? That's
Peter Pan would never do that.
Hey, Peter Pan freaked out and I needed it because the ref wasn't listening to me. The ref was like, well, kind of like, screw you, dude. Like, you're a rookie long snapper. Like, we're not picking up the ball. You're snapping it wet. And I looked at Cam. Cam's like, what's wrong? I'm like, tell him to pick up the ball. Look how wet the ball is.
So I had to fight your battles.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Where were you Sunday, Peter Pan?
Yeah.
I was on the sideline. What else could I do, guys?
You could have controlled the ball that went into play like you did that time.
How would I have controlled? I couldn't even be on the field, bro.
Well, you were on the field. You were on the sideline. I'm sure you were standing right next to the ball guy or the ref. And you could have easily stepped in and said, no, we want that original ball, not this wet ball.
Oh, yeah. Let me tell you about how much pool I have. Only thing I can get is... I can barely get a drink of water on the sideline these days.
What was your point of view from that spot, Cam? Like, did you see the head over? Like, what did you see on that field goal?
I thought it looked good. Like, you know, same alignment that I've always seen. And, you know, you would think Christian Kuntz, being the long snapper, he would check to make sure everybody's on sides, right? So, you know, Christian Kuntz snaps the ball, thinks it's good. And what happens? We get a penalty. So who's the penalty really on?
So I'm supposed to check if the guys behind me are onside.
Yes, yes.
Listen, how is Isaac offsides also when he puts his foot behind my foot? How's that possible? I understand he's a bigger man than me, but he's a foot behind me. So how is he offsides?
So you're telling me we need a taller long snapper? Because you've got a
bigger
short
head. He needs a bigger head so the helmet extends out a little further. Maybe you should use your helmet.
His helmet's huge, dude.
So is that Peter Pan hat he's wearing too right now, Coots? That thing looks like it's about to fall off.
Let's keep it moving now, boys. We've talked about Peter Pan, but we got to talk about Halloween plans. You got any this weekend or this week?
This week, we're doing a trunk or treat, decorating my truck, heading down to Light of Light and doing a little trunk or treat action tomorrow. So,
what will you be for Halloween?
I was already dressed up as Harry Potter. I have a special costume coming up for tomorrow and, you know, the rest of the weekend festivity plans, but I can't really reveal what I'm going to be. I just can't do it right now. It's a big surprise and you'll have to just see for yourself.
Bro, you don't even look like Harry Potter in this picture, bro.
Yeah, I do.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do.
He never
the only thing you have in common is your skin color. I'm going to be honest with you. Like, you look nothing like Harry Potter at all.
I have the scar.
You look like Barry Potter, not Harry Potter.
Aiden, you're agreeing on this.
You kind of do look like Barry Potter. I mean, the beard makes you Barry. I will say it's Barry Potter. I agree.
That's fine.
And I don't even know if you would be Gryffindor. You'd be like Slytherin or like Hufflepuff.
Dude, don't ever say that I would be Slytherin.
You would. You would definitely be Slytherin. You are a snake.
I'm not responding to that. I'm not responding to that. Like, you call me a snake. I'm Gryffindor.
You're not Gryffindor, bro. Bro.
What was that?
You're definitely not Gryffindor. You're the furthest thing from Gryffindor. We might have to start a poll. What Christian Kuntz would be if he was in the Harry Potter world?
Slytherin just sounds dirty. Like, I don't know how long in Slytherin.
You're from Pittsburgh. You're pretty dirty.
Wow, dude. dude. Wow.
Also, that's coming from a guy who was born in Pittsburgh, if I'm correct.
I know.
So, you're a Yinzer. You're a Yinzer.
No, you are a Yinzer. You got the Pittsburghese down, bro.
It's Don.
Don.
There he goes. There he goes.
He does have that. He is more Pittsburgher than you. Yes.
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 He was born here. I
he was. He was born there. Then he moved up.
You wake up eating Primanti Brothers. Just admit it.
I do love Primanti's. I'm down here in the strip, dude. You should see this place is jumping here every Saturday and Sunday. Jumping. Line is.
Bro, you have a game. Don't be talking about Saturday and Sundays.
Well, I mean, I drive by. I live right across the street.
Oh, yeah. Now you drive by. How convenient. All right. Last question. Right. Most overrated and underrated Halloween candy.
Overrated is definitely candy corn.
My man.
Candy corn is so overrated, man. Like people rave about candy corn. I just think it's so average. Most underrated are definitely Smarties, like the little sugar Smartie tablets. Oh man, those I could crush those.
Well, you're going to have plenty of Smarties because nobody else is eating those.
Hey, man, Smarties are not bad. We were used Smarties to crush them. Bad. You could smoke them. Remember, you would crush them inside of the
I remember crushing them up and smoking them.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
What the hell were you two doing crushing them up and smoking them?
You've never done that?
I've never crushed up candy and smoked it before.
Trust me, it's worth it.
You guys are so sick. Cool looking.
It's worth it.
It's so cool.
Yeah, it is.
You guys are junkies.
I can't believe Cam did that. I'm actually kind of shocked. That's how he ate Smarties. Wow.
Yes. Yes. I've gotten my Smarties confiscated many a times by doing that.
Cam, what's your overrated, underrated? What's your overrated, underrated candies?
Overrated Twizzlers. I don't like Twizzlers at all. They're I feel like actually I'll say this. No, not even Twizzlers. Kit Kats. Kit Kats are overrated, bro.
Wow.
Crazy. I don't like Kit Kats at all.
No. That's
no way.
You were right.
Underrated. Oh, Reese's Pieces. Reese's Pieces are a go-to.
Those are properly rated. Those are rated. Everyone loves those.
Not everybody.
Everybody loves those.
Not everybody. Okay, Jolly Ranchers. Watermelon Jolly Ranchers. Okay. How about that?
I mean, that's right. I guess.
Is that more specific for you?
Well, I mean, but
jeez.
The Reese's are pretty highly rated.
Reese's are properly rated. Everyone likes them.
Everybody though.
Name people somebody who doesn't
Butterfingers like them. And crap. I can't stand Butterfingers.
No Butterfingers. No.
I mean, I'll eat Butterfingers, man. It's chocolate.
Ew! Disgusting, Hayden.
It's chocolate. Christian was right. It's candy corn is the most overrated one. Candy corn is disgusting.
Well, I wasn't gonna say candy corn. Obviously, candy corn is trash. Like we don't even keep it in the house. That's the first thing. Nobody wants at our house.
Let's talk about your son. I saw Cal after the game.
Yeah. He looked at me. Did he run away from you? Stranger danger?
No. He pointed at me and he looked like he was like kicking his heel back like he was a pissed off dog, like he was about to come after me again. I'm sick of this kid bullying me, dude. He looks at me and points, "Stranger danger," and then he puts his heel in the ground and kicks up a bunch of dirt like he's a bull.
Yeah. He's going to be the Grim Reaper. He's coming for you, bro.
Oh, my God. Dude. Get away from that kid.
Yeah. Just be ready, man.
Very physical 7-year-old.
Dude, he's so physical.
He plays a physical brand of ball. He is physical.
He hurts when he punches, dude. It hurts my arms.
It does.
It's on purpose.
It does hurt. It does.
All right. Well, that is our segment with our special guest, Mr. Koontz. I want to say thank you for a short time with a long snapper. So get out of here.
Thank you. See ya.
See you, dude.
See you tomorrow.